This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Won one of the greatest elections of all time in the history of this country, and even you will admit that. And now I have somebody writing a report that never got a vote. It's called the Mueller Report. So explain that, because my voters don't get it.
All right, that's the president reacting to a lot that has happened, including the Mueller Report coming out supposedly in the next day or two. Who knows? That could kick into next week. We know how those deadlines are soft. And certainly we are shelling out the money for this investigation. I know I'm curious. Are you curious as to what, if anything, may just jump out and grab us from that report that we don't already know about? That's the key, because so many have already fallen the dominoes. As the president says and alludes to there and has said before, certainly Michael Cohen during his testimony saying that there was no collusion. Kate Delaney just kicking it around, and we always start with Washington, don't we? Because what happens there does affect us. And always remember, we elected the people who represent us there. It is a government by the people and for the people. Can't tell you how that was drilled into my head as a kid, because I grew up in the seat of liberty. So how many times did I go on class trips and look at Independence Hall, go in and see the inkwells that they say were the original inkwell where the Declaration of Independence was signed. So it is about us, and that's why it's so important to pay attention to what's happening. You turn your back and don't get involved, and things that you don't like just continue to happen again and again and again and again, and then you say, well, I'm not going to vote, and then we know it's a cycle that just keeps repeating itself over and over and over. That's why it's important to pay attention to what's happening in D.C. and why you should care. So the Mueller report, we do care about, because what are we going to see? Are we going to see anything at all from the Mueller report? And the answer is, you know, maybe not. It's certainly looking more and more that way. It could be, ultimately, that we do get a look at it, but the idea of collusion and everything else around it coming to this one moment where it looked like, oh, the White House, oh, what did they do to get in? And the answer is, if they don't have that, then they don't have much of anything, because that was the whole idea and what we kept hearing about. Yes, other people go down, but it's not at all what it was billed as, not as what it was advertised as. I guess that's the best way to say that. And is it going to be in a couple days? Is it going to be next week? Like I said, it seems to be a soft release, but a lot of people really want to see that. And we even said on this show, gosh, weeks and weeks ago, that we knew people, attorneys involved, were leaving the office, so they had wrapped things up. I'm surprised it has taken this long. So there are a lot of Democrats, by the way, that think that Mueller is sort of a hero since he was appointed to this position in May of 2017, and that he is the calm, quiet investigator who's not bombastic and is just methodically going about doing what he was charged with doing. And of course, he's the former director of the FBI. He is a Republican. He is somebody who was heading up to this, respected by some people, lots of people, actually, by both sides of the aisle. So what is that going to look like? we haven't really seen much reaction from Mueller. He's just been silent. The speculation builds about the investigation, and he certainly has become one of the most known men in the United States, but he hasn't even given an interview. His office, you know what's interesting? No leaks in his office. Do we ever really get any leaks in his office? No, it's people speculating. 34 people have been charged, 5 sentenced to prison. And that's it. But what will that actual report say? What parts of it, if any, what will we see from that report? Oh, how many times did I jump on these airways, rather, and talk about again and again and again and again? Ooh, it's Christmas. This is when it's coming out. It's a gift that we're going to know. We're going to finally, all this money that's been spent, there's going to be something that comes out of this. And when I say something that comes out of it, I mean anything. Anything with anything to say about clearing or not clearing, not the president, but just even beyond that. Because we keep hearing people that are calling for Jared Kushner to go and calling for Don Jr., and speculating about what's happened there. And so the bottom line is, of course, the president is saying that here we are, and I've been cleared, and yet they spend all this money going after me, the investigation, blah, blah, blah. It was a wild day coming out of D.C., a tour of a tank plant, the last one in the country in Lima, Ohio. And the crowd came out to greet him at this plant. And there were a lot of people in the military there. And there were a lot of others that came out to see the president. And Trump brought up again John McCain. And then he talked about Kellyanne Conway's crazy kooky husband is what he called him. And it's interesting because there were a lot of reactions to that. If you remember in 2016, his message really was to the blue collar manufacturing workers in the Rust Belt. He was that they helped him flip states like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin from blue to red. So there have been some interesting moments in manufacturing in this country. U.S. manufacturing jobs are increasing since 2010, but below the peak, of course, of the 70s. It's interesting. There were 12.8 million U.S. manufacturing jobs in February. Those are statistics from the Department of Labor, up from 11.4 million in 2010. There were more than 19.5 million, though, in 1979. But we're not a manufacturing country anymore, not the way we were. Not the way we were. So there was the escalating attacks that also came out about John McCain saying he never got a thank you for approving the late senator's funeral. And I think it would just be a wise thing to get away from that. And even his, even the president's good buddy, Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, is advising, yeah, move off of it. Just, I understand, move off of that. He was my friend. Let's go on. And perhaps it will die down by the end of the week. See you on the flip side.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite
is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
Dinovite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite for life.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course, Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
Music like that when I take the show to Ireland, ireland.com. You can check out all the amazing things there are to do in Ireland. I want to fill my heart with Ireland, and it is all about filling your heart with Ireland and all of these mysterious ancient burial grounds, the tomb of New Grange, which is older than the pyramids in Giza, and the ruins of the ancient abbeys and the castles with the wild and bloodied histories and all that kind of stuff is all part of what I'll be able to see and bring to you about the magic, the myth, and the rituals that have been going on for thousands of years in these cool little towns with these amazing, lush green fields. I'm even thinking that if you look at the Lusitania, a lot of people forget that, the waves off the Atlantic, off the coast, have swallowed up a ton of ships. And, you know, if you've listened to this show, I'm always fascinated by that. Ships and boats, including some from the Spanish Armada in 1588 and the Lusitania, as I mentioned, during World War I. So the white sandy beaches, the swells with the surfers from all over the world. I'll be bringing all of that to all of you. I cannot wait. It's less than 2 weeks now that I will be up in Northern Ireland. I'm also going to get to spend a little bit of time at the tail end of the trip in Dublin. And Eric is with us, and Eric and his friend. Eric, are you there? Eric and his friend went to Ireland, and liked Dublin so much that they stayed in Dublin. And there's so much history and so much to do in Dublin, too, because you've got from the markets to the pubs to the history to the, and the history includes the museums and some of the cathedrals, and it's just absolutely amazing. So this opportunity is an exciting opportunity to be sure. And like I said, I'll be bringing all of that to all of you here, the listeners of America, tonight. And if you've been to Ireland and you want to share a story with me, do it. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on contact, and let me know what you did when you were in Ireland. Because, yeah, absolutely. If you have any suggestions, I want to hear them. I'll be with the Irish Tourism Board, and they've got things really laid out. But at the tail end, I'll be in Dublin. And I've been to the castle there, and it's pretty, I'll tell you what, it's pretty amazing. It is like walking, I guess, in a history book, you know? That's what the deal is. When you go to Ireland, the people in Ireland, just like we feel about our dogs, like you hear me talk about Mahalo a bunch. I didn't grow up with dogs. My brother was allergic. In fact, we had a Siamese cat. But now that I have a dog, and this dog is the perfect dog for me, because you know what? He's a golden retriever. He just wants love. He wants to give love. He wants to be loved. But everybody has a different idea of what the best dogs are. And I was looking at the top five dogs. Boxers make the list. The bulldog. People love bulldogs. And the bulldog's, you know, sour mug face is kind of universal, those pictures. The French bulldog is also a little bit different, and the Frenchies get along pretty good with animals and humans, and they're on the list. My golden retriever, Mahalo, is number three of the most popular dog breeds in the U.S. because they're outgoing, trustworthy, they're great with kids. German shepherds also make the list. They're loyal to their loved ones, and people like them for that reason, for sure. But the most popular breed, again, is the Labrador Retriever, number one most popular dog in the U.S. Great companions, friendly, and good with kids. So number one in the survey from USA Today. How about that? Hey, Golden Retrievers, number three. I kind of agree with the list, although what happened to Chihuahuas? I thought people liked Chihuahuas. They don't they? Yeah. So as we continue down odds and ends, I like to say, listen, we talk about the things that politically rattle us and are happening and what infuriates us. We can talk about all of that. Obviously, in New Zealand, a big deal. They have banned the Prime Minister there after what happened to the people of New Zealand, vowed that they would get rid of military-style assault rifles. And so, of course, they're banned in New Zealand after Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern just said it was too much after these horrific deaths and is paying for the funerals for these people that were killed and trying to help out the families in any way they can. While that's happening, and it's just absolutely brutal, in this segment, I like to say, when I call it odds and ends, there's things that are happening that are fascinating that we don't always get a chance to talk about. Fascinating and can be scary. And we have talked about this. The FBI is now part of that criminal investigation into the Boeing 737 MAX 8s. It is creepy what I was listening to today, because they're saying that the Lyon jet, that jet, the day before it flew, there was a third pilot there that was in the jump seat that helped when they had a little bit of a panic trying to control the, you know, the plane. And they, you know, filed the reports apparently, or maybe they didn't. And then the plane, that same plane, goes out the next day. So there definitely was a problem with that. There definitely is some discrepancies or some, in closer examination of the Lion jet, there's some problems with that as they're pulling all these pieces together, the circumstances surrounding it. But can you imagine hearing that if you were one of the families? Well, wait a second. That same jet was kind of rescued by the third pilot that was in a jump seat, happened to be there and figured it out for them. And then this plane goes back up in the air. How's that possible? So American Airlines, Southwest Airlines, and United are a little less dependent on the MAX than Air Canada, because Air Canada, they have to juggle their fleets to fill in for the grounded planes. They've had to cancel some flights still. Boeing is at a standstill with these jets until they're cleared through the safety hurdles. And this, they're not getting cleared overnight, as we obviously know. What the timetable will be, who knows? The FAA expects to certify Boeing's modifications and plans for pilot training in April or May, supposedly. That was an anonymous comment. If that's true, think of it's May. And what are they looking at? They're looking at updating that critical software that can automatically point the nose of the plane sharply downward in some circumstances to avoid a stall. That was the problem, an aerodynamic stall, because you're not getting out of that. So think about this. Hundreds of MAX 8s are grounded, the production of more than 4,000 others halted because of the safety concerns there. Whew. Two crashes, killing more than 300 people since October. I think that's enough to ground them. And that's why the FBI is also in the middle of this whole thing, because of some of the recent revelations in it, too. They're looking at the safety of it in general. And then, of course, a key congressional panel is next Wednesday to delve even deeper into just aviation safety in general. And even the Boeing CEO, Dennis Muilenburg, said in light of the recent tragedy in Ethiopia and the subsequent grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft, the hearing will examine challenges to the state of commercial aviation safety, including any specific concerns highlighted by recent accidents. Right? And the Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz says we're going to hear from a panel of government witnesses on ways to improve the safety of the commercial, air transportation system. Sounds good to me, because do you really have a desire to get onto a Super Max if there's problems with this whole stalling software mechanism? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. And that's next week. So you know we're going to be talking about that for sure. Coming up, Meredith Elliott Powell talking about her book about what you have to do to own it. What does own it mean? She'll explain. Forbes Books at Bedtime next.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is once again going after late Republican Senator John McCain. While at a military tank factory in Ohio, he said McCain tried to use the Steele dossier against him.
John McCain got it. And what did he do? Didn't call me. He turned it over to the FBI, hoping to put me in jeopardy.
He also complained about McCain voting against repealing the Affordable Care Act and that the Vietnam prisoner of war was not supportive of veterans. Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson, chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, tells Georgia Public Broadcasting,
"It's deplorable what he said."
He said, "The president is harming the country with his childish talk."
It's a damaging situation. If my kids started talking about John McCain was not a hero, or because he was a prisoner of war didn't make any difference, or things like that, they'd have a serious conversation with me.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaruth, the Capitalist Evangelist. I'm here to introduce you to a special company with the potential to be one of the great all-American stories. Fortum Resources is a publicly traded, diversified natural resource company with oil, gas, and mining properties in North America and internationally. Fortum is led by Chairman Mark Bruner, the legendary oil man who built Ultra Petroleum from a 15-cent stock to $200 per share, creating $15 billion in shareholder profits. Mark has 30 years of experience in the oil and gas industry, overseeing contracts with Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Hess. Fordham has over 350,000 acres of oil and gas resources, and more than half the acreage has been evaluated by world-renowned auditors Deloitte Touche. Fordham also owns the rights to the 180-square-mile City of Gold mining property. Fordham is traded on two global exchanges, U.S. ticker symbol FTMR. Repeat, FTMR. This is a rare ground floor opportunity to capitalize on a proven energy industry legend. Please visit FordhamResources.com. That's Fordham, F-O-R-T-E-M, Resources.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
So pleased to be joined by Meredith Elliott Powell, my pal who was named Top 50 Business Growth Expert, one of them anyway, by Currency Fair, also Top 25 Sales Expert on LinkedIn. She's got a great book called that just came out a while ago, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. It's all about business growth. Hey, Meredith, how are you?
I am great, thanks.
So here's the thing. I love the title of the book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility. What does redefining responsibility mean?
Oh, you know, that is my passion. Somehow responsibility has become a word that, you know, that people don't, they sort of shy away from. When I was first writing the book, my publisher said, you can't write a book about responsibility. Nobody wants to be responsible. And I said, well, that's kind of the point. We see responsibility as a negative thing, and responsibility is the ultimate path to freedom and control of your career and your life.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you said that, Meredith, the first word that came to mind for me is blame, how the word responsibility and blame have sort of got lumped together. But even as you were just describing your conversation with your editor, and when I was looking at your book, I thought to myself, you know what? When you take responsibility for what's happening around you in your life and your actions, it's empowering. It's not a, yes. It doesn't take you down. It actually builds you up.
Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, it's funny. I was just doing a program about emotional intelligence, and we were talking about, you know, the triggers that you have, the things that make you feel righteous or blame or things like that. And while that's really fun to get together with your friends or your spouse and talk about how everybody else is wrong, the problem is that that's exactly where you are the next day. It doesn't fix anything. And you give away your power when you don't take responsibility. And you said it so beautifully, Greg. It's empowering. You take it back when you take responsibility. And I'm just on a mission. I mean, I just want people to see it. When you own that, boy, where you can go and what you can accomplish is just unstoppable.
So, yeah, one of the things that you talk about, let me jump in here, Greg. One of the things you talk about, Meredith, along those lines is you talk a lot in your book about employee engagement. And in fact, in one of your early chapters, it's a great title, The Sorry State of Employee Engagement. What do you mean by that? That employees are just, it's like an all-time low, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, when I first started speaking, it is at an all-time low, and it's Gallup is predicting it's going to go lower. And what I think is so funny about employee engagement when I started to work in that area is that I kept working with leadership teams doing everything they could do to engage employees. And I thought, this is helicopter leadership, like you have helicopter parents. Like, why is it my responsibility to engage other people? It's a job. We pay you. You want to get promoted? Work your tail off. And I don't mean to be that harsh about it, but you know, we need to, as leaders, create an environment where people would want to engage. But whether you engage or not, that's up to you. And it just, when I looked at it, I just saw companies spending millions, billions, quite frankly, doing everything they could to try to get people to stay. I mean, it got into spa treatment. It got into crazy stuff. And you know, people need to take responsibility for their own career. So the way the book is written is it helps leaders create the right culture, but it also says to an employee, it's your life, it's your career. Why are you waiting for somebody else to engage you?
I'm so glad you said that, Meredith. We're talking with Meredith Elliott Powell. Her new book is Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. Because I have to tell you, I think your book title is one of the best book titles I have ever seen. Those four words, own it, redefining responsibility, you pack so much power into those four words, and you just said it. Like, if you're a company and you're almost bribing people to be engaged, you're not giving people something to own. In fact, it strikes me that you're actually doing the opposite. You're redefining responsibility the wrong way instead of the right and the empowering way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you said that about the title. I should have had you talk to my publisher.
I'm always available.
Because I really thought about that, too. I mean, what I really started to see was a disservice. I mean, if you go to work someplace and they have the unbelievable culture where they're doing everything for you, then as an employee, you never really learn how to do it for yourself. Plus, you're stuck. If the company ever changes the rules, ever changes how they do things, you're going to feel like you've been wronged. And it just doesn't work. And so what I think really engages employees is a leadership who feels responsible to create a culture where people can thrive, but also a group of employees that have the tools and the skills that they need to take responsibility. Look, we've all been around long enough. If you get one good boss in your life, you're lucky. Mm. And, you know, you've got to know how to do it yourself.
Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is that, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm thinking there's almost a trap or a catch-22 here for management and leaders, which is why you should pick up Meredith's book, because you could take what you just said and say, cut out the perks. And that's not the point. You have to deliver the perks in a way that empowers people instead of bribes them. You know, I'm thinking about my own visits to Google, for instance. You know, when you work at Google, the perks are incredible, but the amount of ownership that you get with your job is also incredible. So I think what you're saying, but with own it, redefining responsibility, is it's fine to give your employees perks. In many cases in Silicon Valley, you get the perks so you'll stay at work longer. But people are not staying at work longer because they serve dinner. They're staying at work longer because they own their job. They own it.
Mm-hmm.
And it enables them to continue owning it by not having to leave and go do trivial things like eat and get your dry cleaning. That's very different culturally than just throwing spa treatments at people, hoping that, you know, somehow you'll trick them into noticing that it's a terrible place to work.
you know, you're so right, Greg. I read an article that was actually published in Forbes not too long ago called Entitlement is Not Engagement. And it talks about exactly what you're speaking about. It's the fact that the perks need to be the icing on the cake. But if the foundation isn't there, then you're never going to really engage people. People don't engage for a spa treatment. They love that, but they don't engage for beer on Friday afternoon. They engage because they're respected, because they feel like they're heard, and because they feel like they have skin in the game and they're part of the action, and they feel like this company cares about them. My nephew just got a job for New Belgium. And he said something so interesting to me. He said where he had worked before, which I won't name. He said if I saw like a cigarette on the ground or something like that, I didn't worry about it because I didn't feel like that company cared about me. He said, but when I walk into New Belgium, there's a cigarette on the ground or a piece of paper. He said, I pick it up because I care about New Belgium because they care about me. Now, that kid gets a lot of perks. New Belgium is at the top of the list with employee engagement. But he feels cared about is the base of that.
Wow. So in saying all of this, if somebody really embraces this, Meredith, do you think that leads to business growth? Does that affect the ROI?
You know, when I wrote the book Own It, it was the book that came out of Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, which is all about exactly what you need to do to succeed in today's economy. And when I speak about this, what I speak about is the fact that employee engagement is the only competitive advantage you have left. There's nothing you do, there's nothing you create, there's nothing you sell, there's nothing you can do that your competition won't do. So the experience your customers are having is the only thing that's giving you competitive advantage. And that would be so easy if you were the only person who interacted with your customers. But for most of us, we're dependent upon those people who work with us. So ironically, at a time when we need our employees to be more engaged than ever, the only competitive advantage you have. So I think the companies that do it win.
Yeah, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, your only competitive advantage is your engagement with your employees. It actually reminds me, this is just an observation, it's not even a question, but it reminds me, frankly, of what was happening 30 years ago between Apple and Microsoft. The Apple employees were obsessed with the success of their company, and the Microsoft employees were not. I mean, if you watch, you know, I think Revenge of the Nerds, I mean, a large part of the movie is Bill Gates being upset because Steve Jobs' employees, you know, treated him like, you know, this figure on the hill. And it's funny how it sounds like nothing has really changed, and there's great lessons to learn today and from history.
And you know, the thing about it, too, is that you think about, it's almost like that world of those two competitors, it's gone on steroids for all of us. Because in that day, I couldn't buy something anywhere I wanted to in the world. I couldn't sit home in my underwear and Google and have everything I need delivered.
That's an image I didn't need, Meredith, but...
I usually talk about it being naked, so I feel lucky.
Thank you.
But, you know, so think about it. You know, think about it from that perspective. Most of us have the leadership skills that came about and were taught at a time when we could hire anybody we wanted to. And now the world is, you know, the kid sitting down the street, he can work in China if he wants to, right from his own home.
Yes.
Yeah, big difference, obviously. Hey, we have 30 seconds left. I want to wrap with this, Meredith. What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is responsibility and seeing the fact that people see it as a negative rather than a positive. I want people to embrace responsibility, and I want people to learn to love to sell. You do those two things, and life is going to be good.
I love that. That's another conversation about learning to sell for sure. Meredith Elliott-Powell, thank you so much. Pick up her book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose.
Thank you.
It's time to join the Tahibo Tea Club. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea is available for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Dial 818-883-7222 or buy online at drinksupertea.com. All orders ship immediately the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222. That number again, 818-883-7222. Or buy online at drinksupertea.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Everybody's heard me talk about Life's Abundance that you can go to through kateskibble.com. And I'll tell you what, it's been such a game changer for Mahalo. And we're talking to more and more people about that. And joining us now is Lisa Flynn. And Lisa is a real estate guru in Florida, in the Sarasota area. Huh, who doesn't want to live in Sarasota, especially right now if you're listening to me in the Midwest and you're shoveling? You're thinking, I want to move to Sarasota. And Lisa has a background where at one point she was a dog trainer and kennel owner and whatnot. And besides being a real estate mogul, she got involved with Life's Abundance as well. And what a game changer for, you know, for the economics of a business, you know, because it is a business for some people out there listening, and also for what it does for your dog as well. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So let's start with your background first about being a dog trainer and kennel owner. Tell us about that. What was that like? And I, you know, being a kennel owner to me would be wild. It'd be so cool, but I think I'd fall in love with all the animals and I wouldn't want to give them up.
That is oftentimes the case, yes. I have made some real connections with some fantastic dogs and some fantastic owners over the years. But yes, I trained dogs professionally for close to 20 years in the Washington, D.C. area as well as the Boston area, and a little bit here in Sarasota, but not a whole lot. And I had a 25-run kennel with doggy daycare and boarding and grooming and, of course, the dog training. So I did a lot of that. I also worked with some of the sheriff's departments in the D.C. area with their dogs. So it was pretty cool.
So let me ask you a question. This is a personal question. People will love this. They love it when I peel back the onion on the assistant producer of the show, which is my golden retriever, Mahalo. And Mahalo is still, he's 8 years old and he moves around great and runs and all that other stuff, but I want to be careful with him. And you know how do you get dogs to go up steps to a bed? Or come down. It's really come down because that's where they hurt their joints.
Yeah, right, right. That's so funny. This is, it's just like if you were a doctor, you talk with somebody and tell them you're a dog trainer. They have a dog training question and it's the doctor and, hey doc, I have this rash. Let me take a look. So, well, it's guiding the dog, of course. And if you have a great relationship, as you do with Mahalo, of course, they will trust you and name it. That's the most important part, is if you're just trying to get him to do something without actually naming it. So training and obedience and so forth is not really just tricks. It is a language that to communicate with your dog. So when you name it, say stairs or something along those lines, and guide him with that, you certainly treats will help and a lot of encouragement. Then he'll start to understand that if you just start grabbing him and trying to tug him down the stairs, he's going to freak out and not know what's going on. So as you start naming it and encouraging him that way, then it literally it becomes a language between the two of you, so you can communicate to him what to do. Most people just tell their dogs what not to do. So the key is to be able to teach them so you can tell them what to do instead of just what not to do.
I love it. That is a million-dollar tip, I have to tell you. So I know people out there probably have similar situations where they're trying to get their animal to do something that would benefit them. And you're right. You say, don't do this. Don't go here. Don't whatever. But it should be the opposite. And, wow, that's fascinating. So you go from the dog training and a tip like that and kennel owner, which is so cool. You're in Florida, you're doing the real estate thing, and you started with Life's Abundance. What led you to Life's Abundance and starting that?
Well, actually, I started with Life's Abundance 18 years ago.
Wow.
So I've been feeding and recommending and actually selling Life's Abundance since the year 2000. So this company has been around for a long time, and I'm been aligned with them for a very long time. And it was a natural add-on to my pet business, my pet care business, of course, because people are always asking for recommendations for food and for toys and for supplies and equipment and so forth. And it was just a natural lead-in. But I started with Life's Abundance primarily because I saw the difference that it was making in the dogs that I was, my own dog, as well as the dogs that I was working with. The behavior is, your nutrition is a key component into behavior and behavioral issues. And so when I started to see what higher quality dog food, the difference it made with these dogs, then I started pursuing and looking into more options, and I stumbled upon this, and I've been with them for 18 years now.
From the business side of it, for 18 years is a long time. How does that work? And because we both, I mean, I'm new to it, but the quality is incredible. And my dog Mahalo, I think, he just inhales the food. He loves it. The idea that it's made in small batches, all those great nutrients that we talk about, and I've talked about that on the show. But I haven't talked as much about the business side. Tell the listeners more about the business side and how that can be fruitful for them.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of pluses to the business side. And one of the things you just touched on is that you made in the small batches and so forth. This is an American company, and all the products and all of the ingredients are manufactured in the United States. So I like to support businesses that are in the United States. And many of these larger companies, we don't even realize it, but a lot of the ingredients are being imported from China and then put together here. And this has been some of the reasons for some of the recent recalls in the past few years, is they've gotten some tainted ingredients and then put it together in the United States, and some animals have been suffering and many have died from one of the recalls, actually. So that's one of the components, is, you know, it's an American and U.S. company. But as I said, I had trained dogs for close to 20 years. I have really not done any training at all, but it was a natural lead since I moved to Sarasota, but it was a natural add-on for my dog training business. And I have trained thousands of dogs over the years. And with this business, every single day I get an email saying that so-and-so ordered dog food from you. And this so-and-so is a client from 15 years ago. They are on their third dog that I've not even met. And I may have worked with them in Washington, D.C., and now they live in Washington State. So this type of business is
is really residual, because once they're clients for life, and I am on some second, third, and even fourth dogs that they're continuing to order the food. So it's not like a business where you might, some pet stores or groomers or veterinarians will actually have to stock the product. This is completely hands-off, which is perfect for me because now I'm focusing on real estate. I don't want to have to stock product. I don't want to have to worry about expirations. I don't want to have to worry about shipping things. That's all taken care of. And I literally still have hundreds of customers from all over the country that I have not even spoken with in 10, 15 years.
Wow. And the great thing, too, is the point of entry is very low, I think. I think it's incredibly reasonable. So you combine that with the fact of what you just said, you don't have to stock anything, and it makes it a no-brainer. So somebody told me the other day she had just started Life's Abundance, I think, a couple of months ago, and basically what she told me is, you know what, my food is covered for my dog. That's amazing. I don't have to pay for the food because I have people that realize how great this food is and that it is an American-made, it's made in America, and the small batches and the nutrients and all of that. So I feel good about it because I'm not getting terrible food off of a shelf, and now my dog benefits, but it also, I'm not buying the dog food anymore because it's paid for itself, and that's the start of it, isn't it?
Exactly. That very quickly happens with this business. The startup costs, like you said, starting a business, it's, I mean, everything included for the first year is under $500, so it just doesn't make any, you know, it's a no-brainer, especially for somebody who's already in the pet industry. But I know countless people who just are pet lovers and wanted to take care of their own animals in the best way possible, and that's how they got involved, like yourself.
Yeah. The with Life's Abundance, too, they also do something really neat, that they give food to shelters. You can give food to shelters, individual shelters, and I love the way they do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really great company and a very solid company that gives back.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I would be remiss not to ask you about this. How's the real estate biz?
Real estate business is great. It really is. It's there's always ups and downs in this type of business, but I primarily, my niche with real estate is working with investors. As a real estate investor myself, I actually got my real estate license here in Florida because my husband and I started to buy properties as rental opportunities. And I just started getting asked by other people for some help. So I got my real estate license for that purpose, to further along our investing business as well as to help other people. And I just fell in love with it. So that's another way that building wealth and having income come in with our rental properties has just been phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. And plus all that sunshine and those beaches. Are you kidding? Who doesn't want to live in Sarasota or near Sarasota? I got to tell you, it's beautiful there, of course, right?
Yeah, I have to say that we do live in paradise. It's been 5 years since I moved here from the Boston area, and I have not looked back, although I have learned to stop putting pictures of the beach and the palm trees in January and February on Facebook. My friends don't appreciate that anymore.
I love that. Lisa Flynn, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
I really appreciate the opportunity, Kate. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
It's time to start drinking Tahibo Tea. Tahibo Tea comes from the inner bark of the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. The Tahibo tree never gets sick, never gets infected, and never gets infested. As a result, it contains antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. Tahibo Tea can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening condition due to infection, diabetes, or cancer. Every week, someone calls in with a story of another miraculous recovery. Order your Tahibo Tea now for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping. 1 pound makes 300 servings, which is only 12 cents per cup. Call today, 818-883-7222. Again, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. All orders ship the same day. Call now, 818-883-7222, or buy online at drinksupertea.com.